This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to another episode of the Kerry Dixon Show in association with ChelseaFan12.com, the home of the 12th man, the fan. And make sure you check out their website. And of course, they do this fantastic video after every home game with Chopper Harris, Ron Harris and Gary Chivers in the Butcher's Hook pub, where the club was in fact founded many years ago. And it's great stuff. So I commend that to you. And also follow them on Twitter, at Fan12Chelsea. Now, of course, a lovely warm welcome to my old mate, Kerry Dixon. How are you doing, mate? You all right?
I'm doing fine, thanks, Dave.
Yes, indeed. We should apologise for not doing a show last week, but to be fair, Kerry, you had a lot going on, didn't you? Including the Chelsea pitch owners' annual lunch, which I gather was great fun.
Yes, pitch owners' lunch, and met up with the Chelsea's Norwegian and Swedish supporters club. We're having their Christmas party as well. It was trying to combine a bit of everything and indeed stick in a couple of games on the Wednesday and the Saturday. So, yeah, very busy. And, once again, apologies from myself as well.
No, that's all right, mate. I'm sure we'll both be forgiven. I was also in the same pub that they were doing the Norwegians were doing their party. So you're a brave man to have managed to face up to that one all afternoon. I can tell you they're a good bunch of lads. Right, we should talk some football, shouldn't we? Really, I'm going to kick off with a little chat about the Atletico match. I was obviously there. To be really honest, Kerry, I thought it was a great game of football. Actually, it surprises me that Atletico, have ended up dropping into the Europa League. And for all of the talk about the fact they've done really badly in this European campaign, they still looked a decent side to me. And I just thought it was a really good game of football. First up,
well, I mean, I think it was a decent enough game. When you talk about the old cliches, and once again, the results business and so on, I felt that Chelsea put themselves in a position to finish top of the group, and they've let themselves down a little bit. I mean, the only way it could be resurrected now is if, one, they draw Besiktas, that's everyone's first choice, and two, if they beat either Paris Saint-Germain or Barcelona, which are the only three options they have left in the group. After the group stages, and the second option is not going to be an easy one. I think given the choice out of the other two, I possibly would prefer to play Barcelona. I just think that they might be although their current form suggests it's not, but I think they might be on the wane a little bit. It's just a little thought from myself. Paris Saint-Germain looked to be the up-and-coming side, although the Bayern Munich result for them was not a good one. But it just proves to, it just goes to show that they're sort of human after all, and not so fearful and up and coming. But I felt Chelsea let themselves down a little bit overall, not necessarily in the Atletico games, but certainly in the Roma games. And that's what's cost them effectively. Mm. Yes, I agree with you. Atletico are going to be a force in the Europa Cup, but that's not what we're going to worry about. Let's hope Chelsea are a force after Christmas and indeed over Christmas and become a force in the Champions League.
Interesting comments about where we go next, which I'll pick up on in a minute. But first and foremost, I mean, if we take anything away from the game, really, it was the fact that we didn't put them away, and we had more than enough chances to do that. And, you know, I think that Atletico, you know, they were a threat, but I never got the feeling that they were going to hammer us or run away with it. In fact, quite the contrary. I felt that we should have, you know, possibly won that game by 3 or 4. We certainly created enough chances, but we had a real problem finishing it. I mean, was it poor finishing or was it bad luck?
There wasn't necessarily any glaring misses. You know, we had chances, as you say. I mean,
Williams, I think. Yeah. You know, when he put that over the bar, that was poor. He should have scored, I think.
Well, that was probably the biggest omission. But by and large, it was just one of them games we could have scored, didn't score, didn't take your chances, and it cost you. I mean, I don't know. I don't like to start picking out individuals and sort of blame the whole campaign on the fact that one or two chances in the Atletico game actually cost us, because I think, and we have said in previous shows, that the Roma game might come back to haunt us, and indeed that was the case.
Yeah.
So there we are. We've got two drawn home games, and as I said, you want to finish top, you've got to win your home games, and that wasn't the case. But it wasn't as bad as Atletico. We could have been in the Europa Cup. That was a very tough draw to get through. So the positive to take out of the game, which I take on with you, is the fact that we have qualified and we've got a Champions League draw to look forward to, and the campaign, hopefully, which will last longer than the next round, come February.
Well, indeed it does. And I mean, it's great fun, actually. I mean, as I said, look, you know, disappointment aside and frustration aside, I really enjoyed it on Wednesday. I thought, well, you know, this is what European football's about and why I love going along to the bridge on a European night. But, you know, picking up from where you left off, Kerry, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, it looks like we'll either have Besiktas, Barcelona or PSG. And in fact, cleverer people than me have worked out that we are, in percentage terms, far more likely to get Barcelona. And I think you're right. I mean, they're not the team that they were when we used to have those humdinging battles with them. But, I mean, you could say that we're not the side that we were as well. So if we do get them, it would be an interesting tie, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's going to be an interesting tie if that indeed is the case. And, you know, we'll talk about that obviously next week, because that will be apparent as to who we've got with the draw coming up. I think it's Monday, I think the draw is. Any of them would be an intriguing battle, but everyone hopes it's Besiktas, really do. Not that it's an easy tie, but given the choice of the three, it's certainly the less daunting. But I don't know how the panel of experts work out what we're more liable to get when there's a choice of three going out. I would have said it was 33% we get any one of them. But you know, I'll leave it to the experts. And if it is Barcelona, then I think, bring it on.
Yeah. I think it's the issue that, you know, like us, you know, we can't play any of the other four British teams or English teams in the next round. Barcelona have to avoid Spanish teams. I think a little bit of that's come into it. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, Conte was quite bullish about it. I mean, maybe he has to be. Maybe he's just saying that. We don't know, do we? But, you know, let's take it at face value for a second. I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to win any cup competition, you know, you've got to beat whoever gets put in front of you.
That's correct.
So I kind of applaud him for that. But, I mean, on the other hand, Kerry, I mean, all this belly aching about, oh, well, you know, we came second and that's why we were going to end up playing PSG or Barcelona. If we'd have come first, we might also get in the next round Bayern Munich, Juventus or Real Madrid, none of whom I would particularly fancy. So it's a cup competition. You're going to have to play who you have to play, aren't you?
That's correct. And, you know, when you look at all the English teams in it, it's made it that little bit more of a path where it looks like everyone is going to get one of the big teams, and there's going to be some great clashes in the competition, not just for us, because the English teams, like you've just said, are going to meet three of the giants of Europe in Real Madrid, Bayern and Juventus. So, you know, some of the English clubs are going to be meeting with them, that's for sure.
Well, you know, as you said, we will soon find out on Monday, and I think you're right. We will obviously pick up on that in the show next week. But anyway, we should also have a quick look back at the Premier League game, the bread and butter, as it were, against Newcastle last Saturday, an early kickoff, 12:30. Not my favourite time for football, I have to say, Kerry. It seriously diminishes the amount of time I could spend in the pub beforehand. But there you go. And of course, the corollary of that is I spend too much time in the pub afterwards. But that's another story. Right, first things first. Really, we are invariably slow starters, I think, anyway. But it seems to be a particular habit with the early kickoffs. But that aside, I thought Eden Hazard came to the fore again. Two superb goals. One of them a Panenka penalty. There's been a lot of chat recently about Hazard and the fact that he's really beginning to step up to the plate and grab games by the scruff of the neck, which is what you want your best player to do. And I mean, you know Kelvin Barker. He's an old mate of mine as well. And he quite cheekily put out on Twitter that, I mean, Kelvin's been watching for a long time, as you know. And he actually said that he thinks that Hazard is the most skillful player and the player with the most natural ability that he's ever seen play for Chelsea, which I thought was a bold statement, but I've got to be honest, Kerry, I'm inclined to agree. I'd be interested to hear where you stand on Hazard.
I'm not against any statement that applauds even Hazard. I think he's our best player. I've been saying it for a while. And I think he's the difference, as I've said many a time, that between tight games, which we're in, if we can win, he's got to be playing. He's got to be playing well. He is the difference. He can make it happen. Certainly last season, I used to look at I could go back a lot further, but last season I used to look at Diego Costa as well, and you know, his goals helped. That could be the difference. Hasn't taken off. Costa winning 1-0, Chelsea winning 1-0, Costa goal, you know, taking a half chance that presented itself, but by and large even Hazard was the difference. When he's on block, it's very hard to stop, and it disrupts any pattern of play or any set-up on the opposition that he's put in front of you, because he can disrupt anything. You know, he takes players out of the game with his dribbling skills. He's got abilities that other people haven't got. He draws fouls from the opposition. And, you know, quite frankly, he's virtually impossible to handle on a going day. Very much in the mould of the Messis, the Ronaldos, the Neymars, etc.
Yeah, which of course not that it really, to be honest, I don't really care about it, but all the news yesterday was about the fact that Hazard was way down the list in the Ballon d'Or competition, which Ronaldo got again. But I mean, you know, I'm not worried about that. We know how good he is. That's all that counts, isn't it, mate?
Well, we do, and let's hope we continue to see it.
Hear. Something that we haven't seen much of thus far this season, but we certainly did last Saturday, was Danny Drinkwater playing again with Kante in the kind of the three of the five in midfield, if you see what I mean. And I have to say, Kerry, I was really impressed with him. I love him. He's a tank. You know, he really is. But he also gets forward. I was impressed with Danny Drinkwater. I think that we might have made a very shrewd purchase there.
Yep, I'm starting to agree with you. Still, we need to see. Pardon me. Still, we need to see a little bit more, and that's down to the manager and indeed Drinkwater himself to make the manager pick him and become more of a regular than someone who is used in and out with Bakayoko, etc. But yeah, on what I've seen so far, Danny Drinkwater is not a negative, and could very well turn into be a positive, and with continual progress, you know, he could be one of the names on the sheet first each week if he manages to stand for position himself. But it's all down to the lad, and I agree with you. What I've seen so far is positive.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm old, but I particularly warm to the fact that you know, you can get a player from Leicester. I mean, okay, they won the Premier League, so they're clearly not mugs, but, you know, the clamour is always to go out and buy some marquee signing, some big world name foreign player. But yet, you know, you could, it's like the old days, isn't it? You know, you can go and pluck a player out from a lesser team and he can turn out to be a real player for you. And I've got a real hope about Drinkwater, you know, in that respect. Another person who's made a return after injury was Victor Moses. And I thought he had a good game as well against Newcastle.
Yes, I mean, a rival for his position, or for a position either side now, is Zappa Costa. And his performances have warranted a place in the side, I feel, or at least a challenge. And that's certainly what he's produced, a challenge to the positions of Marcus Alonso and Victor Moses. But Moses responded very well by coming on and producing a decent performance, I thought. I agree with you on that one as well. Like I say, I don't think there's many bad performances anyway. But I think Victor Moses did very well. Just got back pretty much to doing what he has been for the last few years. And, you know, I don't see any change. There is a battle on with Zappa Costa there. I think he's a decent signing as well on the strength of what I've seen so far. And I think there is competition for places all of a sudden in their positions. Whereas before it was just Moses and Alonso. I do think that Zappa Costa has added a different dimension to it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely spot on. On the fan cast on Monday, we had Mark Worrell on, and Mark was making that point that, you know, it's taken a while this season because we've had injuries and suspensions and stuff. But actually, you know, we do have, it seems to me, a better squad. There's more depth there. You know, and Conte's got more options. I would say, you know, about Zappa Costa and also Bakayoko, actually, a different situation in some respects because he's a lot younger. But I think that those two are taking some time to adapt to Premier League football, as you would expect. But, you know, I do think they're decent players and I do think they can do a job. And I'm really quite happy with the options that gives Conte, particularly given the fact that we've got a lot more football to play this year. So, you know, that bodes well from my point of view. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I do, once again. I think both players, like you said, are adapted slowly, but positively. Bakayoko, I thought he had a different game when I saw him. I'm not sure whether it was him or Rudiger, someone run off for a goal in the last couple of weeks. But he's been indifferent, that's for sure, Bakayoko. He's had some decent games and some indifferent stuff. I think Zappa Costa looks very good going forward. Yet to really see him tested defensively at one or two moments. Of course, the highlight being the goal come cross, which he scores. But, you know, I think there's more to come. There has to be from both players. But I think that, yes, they are proving that there's competition for places in the positions that they play it. And Bakayoko, you know, at the moment, I think he's in a real battle because certainly, even though he's been bought, you talk about marquee signings, etc. Morata being the marquee signing, if you like, because of the amount of money. But, you know, he still paid a lot of money. We got rid of Matic on the back of that as well. So he's got something to live up to, Bakayoko. And at the moment, I feel he's just short of that. And he's certainly not one of the names that is put straight down in the team, I wouldn't have thought, week in, week out. And I think there's competition for all places, central midfield, as well as on the wing.
But it's good. And I think allied to that is the fact that the age of the squad seems to have come down a lot, which is also encouraging. But there we go.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jinj?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
I mean, talking about this squad depth, it leads us into the West Ham game, another infernal early kickoff on Saturday. Given that we played Atletico Madrid on Tuesday, I think for me the first question is, will Conte rotate and should he? Because, you know, basically bar Marcus Alonso, he pretty much played the first, what we would consider to be the first 11 against Atletico. So do you think he's going to rotate a few people out and in?
Yes, I think there'll be one or two changes. It's one of the games. Once again, I feel we should win it. I mean, they're under pressure. They're not getting great results. Although the last performance proved that David Moyes might be getting some semblance of form out of them, but I still think that Chelsea should be good enough to win the game, and I do think there'll be one or two changes. Not quite sure who, but we've said before, trying to double guess the manager is never easy. But I think there will be changes.
Mm. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, it's one of those games, Kerry, isn't it? I mean, West Ham look terrible at the moment. I mean, they're 19th, so they're only 1 point above Swansea, who are in bottom, of the league. It should be an easy game for us, but you know what West Ham are like. I mean, there's quite a bitter rivalry there that's developed over many, many years. They will absolutely want to put one over on us. You can be sure as anything about that.
Yes, I certainly agree with you.
So I find it hard to call, but it worries me. You know, it worries me. That does, it really does.
I think every game's hard to call, Dave. Any game away, you said Swansea. We look at Palace away. Look at these games at Newcastle away. All the teams who are struggling, I feel. And when they come and are upon you, they're all difficult games. After the game, they're not so difficult. You look at Newcastle and Swansea recently. I mean, we were all over them being a better side, and quite rightly the results went our way. But, it really is a case of we should roll West Ham over. And once again, I reiterate what I say on a fairly regular basis. We're in third position. They're second from bottom. Come on, if we're being serious about keeping pace with the Cities and the Uniteds and so on, West Ham is a 3 point that we must take.
Well, I totally agree with that. I mean, the other reason, of course, is that Man City are playing Man United this weekend. So there's a chance that, one of them might drop points, or even both of them if they draw, of course, which is good for us, particularly and only, of course, if we manage to pick up all 3 points against West Ham. So, it's not to be taken lightly, as I said. I mean, we've got a good record away at West Ham, both at Upton Park and more recently in the Olympic Stadium. I think we've only lost twice there in the last 11 Premier League games. And those two defeats, one came, I think it was the last season at Upton Park, wasn't it? It was the Mourinho season where he got sacked. And I think the other one was when we were 1-0 up and then we lost 3-1. And that was Rafa Benitez's third game. So in a sense, you could say there were mitigating circumstances for that. But we've got a good record there, which gives me some hope.
Yeah. There is a thing about records and stats, and I do believe all that. I think that is the case. There's lots of teams, history tends to repeat itself. But,
West Ham do, as you've already said, produce every now and again a performance out of the woodwork, which is not expected.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it has happened against Chelsea. But, you know, I remember we've had a different results when I was playing at Upton Park, of course. But, you know, I fully believe that any Chelsea team put out, you know, is good enough at the moment. David Moyes has got a move in the right direction, I do feel. And, you know, whether he's the right fit or not remains to be seen. Ultimately, time will tell. But I think Chelsea at the moment should be too strong for them. I really do. I don't think they're a finished article, far from it. And I don't think we're a finished article, far from it. I have to be honest. I think we've produced some great performances, and by and large, Hazard is behind us when we're playing really well. But I think there's room for improvement in both sides. And I feel that Chelsea at the moment are in a far greater position, and we should seriously take 3 points.
Mm. To be honest, Kerry, for me, the key is what 11 that Conte starts with, because I really do think that West Ham will be well up for it. You know, they've got a new manager. He's going to be well into them, so they're going to want to impress him. So I do think we need to start with a strong side. So, you know, I will be worried if we drop too many of our key players, or at least I hope he kind of sticks with the spine, you know, which would be Aspilicueta, Kante, obviously has a Fabregas, Hazard and Morata. I don't mind a few changes around that, but you know, the key players have got to start. Actually, we didn't talk about it earlier on, but I'm going to call him your mate Morata. He scored another goal again against Newcastle, didn't he? With his head as well.
Yeah,
proper striker's goal, that, wasn't it? You know, in the from about a yard out, getting on the end of it. I like that.
Yes, another headed goal. I'm not saying he's still striking me as someone who's predominantly brilliant in the air, or brilliant at all. He's striking me as a player that's been in a position, taking the chances, which is what you'd expect to present himself. I can't remember too many memorable moments and great games he's had. I think the Manchester United header was fantastic. That's probably his best moment for me. And the opening day when he came on and produced a decent performance against Burnley, because it was the first time we saw him and he was replacing an out-of-sorts Batshuayi. But by and large, I do feel there's still more to come from him. He might argue, you know, hat-trick away at Stoke, which is no mean feat. I don't know. I don't know. I might be on the fence until he actually sticks two or three great games together and, you know, say, oh, this boy's a real deal and so on. I don't think some of the pundits who were talking about him earlier on and comparing the start with Lukaku, you know, they're looking at Aguero and they're looking at the strikers all doing well this season. I've noticed that they've backed off a little bit and the clamour for how good Morata is has changed to the clamour how good Hazard is. And that seems to be the key in all the major topics of conversation from the pundits, etc., when Chelsea are talked about. And, you know, it's noticeable. Because some people, I do feel, not necessarily having doubts, but maybe trying to backtrack on some of the words, because they do tend to dive in early on the back of one performance and start making statements that are probably wildly out of proportion.
Well, I agree with that. I think you know, if you're looking at Lukaku and Aguero, I'd say Lukaku is a flat-track bully. But I think Mourinho's smart enough to have bought him because they were struggling to put away the size that they should put away last year, and he knows that Lukaku can do that. Aguero, I do think, is the finished article. He's a superb striker. But I think Morata isn't the finished article yet. I think there is a way for him to go. But one of the things that occurred to me earlier in the week was that he's, I think, if memory serves me correctly, he's never played more than 16 you know, starts in a season, because, you know, he's been at Juve and Real Madrid, and there's a very good chance that he's going to, you know, play a lot of games for Chelsea this season. Now, I'm not sure what the answer is to this, so I'm hoping you might actually, but on the one hand, I would have thought playing more games in a season will do him good, because he'll get a run and he'll adapt to the Premier League quicker. But on the other hand, if you're only used to playing, you know, 15, 16 games in a season, is there a chance that it might have a negative effect on him, that he's not used to that? I don't know. I mean, you know, you're the ex-pro, so I'd be interested to hear what you think about that.
Yeah, I don't suppose for one moment he'd mind playing more games. You know, he's a footballer, he's there to play games. Incidentally, I think we're in a run, or starting a run of, I think, 7 games in 21 days, I think we've got over the Christmas period, so... You know, there's going to be a lot of demands on the bodies, and no doubt Conte will have to be aware and rotate his side accordingly. I think it's 3 games coming up now in the next 7 days for us. And, you know, so the games are coming thick and thin, and Christmas is going to be a lot different to what people like Morata and that are used to in other countries. You know, some have a break, some don't have a break, but certainly not the amount of games involved that Chelsea are going to be playing. So... it is going to be different. How Morata adapts, I'm not sure. The only thing I am sure about is I agree with you. There is room for improvement again. And as I've said before, I'm still on the fence. So, you know, the doubters and the people with the plaudits can still keep coming at me. But until I see something that I'm prepared to stick my neck out and say, yep, he's the man, I'm still where I am. And another headed goal doesn't necessarily, you know, make me jump out of the swim. You know, a striker is there to score goals, and that's what's on his CV, and that's what he's got to do. But when he starts scoring 25s, 30s, and so on, then I'll start to be saying, OK, he still might do that this year. He's possibly on course or just behind it for 20, 25 goals anyway. So it still might happen, but I still need a little bit more.
Well, hopefully we will. And I tell you what I do hope is that they've got their shooting boots on for Saturday, because, like we've been saying, it's an important game for us. We need to get those 3 points. So what's your prediction, mate? How do you see it going?
Chelsea by a couple. Really do think that we're that much better than them, and they're well off the pace at the moment. I feel that... we are too strong. We said it many a time, and lots of Chelsea fans feel it. The early goal is important. If we score first, it disrupts everyone else's pattern. It disrupts their ideas. They've got to come out. They've got to get a goal if they're intent on getting something from the game. Opens them up to a counter-attack. We're very good at counter-attacking. We're very pacey. The second goal would not be out of the question. And, you know, then all of a sudden, I think Chelsea can maintain that. I really do think that if we score a first goal down there, West Ham are the side to side, that possibly the floodgates could open up and we could give them a do it. You know, it's all very well saying David Moyes is going to stoke them up, which he will, and get them the London derby, and the fans will be behind them, the atmosphere will be what it will be. But I do think that they're the sort of team, if they go a couple behind, their heads, no doubt. And I don't think there's one or two characters. All right, they've got Mark Noble, who's a bit of a character, and try and dig in, you know, knows the traditions and so on, but there aren't too many others that stand out in that department. And I really do think that if we get on top, we could give them a doing. So I think Chelsea by 2 at least.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to predict a real hammering, no pun intended, but I'm gonna be more cautious and stick with a more professional Kerry Dixon type view, which is that we're two goals better than them at least. So I'm gonna go 2-0, unless Andy Carroll starts, because he worries me. I don't know what it is about Carroll, but he has a habit of scoring against us. So, but I'm gonna go 2-0, mate, and I think we'll bring the points home, and hopefully City and United will at the very least draw, so that we can catch up on them a little bit. But anyway, we shall see on Saturday, won't we?
Certainly will, Dave, and you know, hopefully it's the start of a run which will see us into the semi-finals of the Caribou Cup, and because that's coming up, the game against Bournemouth as well, and indeed a better position come the end of it, come mid-January, in the league. It's a hectic period, and it's a hectic period for players, and but it's a wonderful one. It's a great opportunity to get a lot of points and progress in the cup, so let's hope this is the start of a good one for us.
Yeah, too right. It's crucial time, Christmas, and you can really go a long way to, You know, well, I mean, you know, if we have a good run over Christmas, we can get a lot of points, and that'll stand us in good stead for the new year. Mate, we've got to go. Enjoy the game on Saturday, and you and I will catch up next week. We'll have both the West Ham and the Huddersfield game on Tuesday to talk about, as well as the Champions League draw, as you were saying earlier. So it'll be a packed show as always. Anyway, have a great weekend, mate, and I'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Dave.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.